The first reading is from Mark chapter 10 and verses 35 to 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Second reading this morning is from Philippians 3, verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you."
The head of counterintelligence in Austria once estimated that there were 7,000 spies in Vienna alone. Nearly 0.5% of that city's population just spending their time spying on each other. He said, "Vienna is a nice place for spies to live and bring their families. That's why they're all there." So in a city like Vienna, full of immigrants, which Slovaks are really Russians? And which real Russians actually work for the Chinese or the Americans? And are there actually any diplomats who are actually diplomats and not spooks? I remember vividly as a child being told that being a Christian was like being a secret agent. There was an illustration that grabbed me, that helped me. Loyal and brave, serving king and country on overseas service. And actually, it's a very good fit to one of our major truths in Philippians, the verses that Mark started us from. Look back at 3 verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we are from. And we said early in this series that the city in heaven, that is a very fine city, finer even, if you can imagine it, than Singapore, we dared to say. And we await a savior king, the verse goes on, who will come from his city to transform us and bring us home. And do we dare to say he is a king to inspire greater loyalty even than Queen Elizabeth? So we are here on earth, but citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. And that is not a destination on a heavenly aeroplane ticket, because we are agents of our king. There was an only all the way back in 1 verse 27, something about our lives here and now. Look at 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Or we've said more than once, Paul actually says in Greek, live as citizens worthy. And worthy of, well, what is a gospel? Worthy of the victory announcement of your king. So as agents, we strive side by side for the faith of that gospel, it says in 1:27, and strive like sprint athletes, Gwilym told us 2 weeks ago, in suffering service, Gwilym said last week, because that is the path to glory in the city of our King. And the letter so far, I think, has been mainly big picture. It's been the spy's training manual on how to stay safe in the field. It's been the mindset you need to serve to the end. But the big picture ends in 4 verse 1. And at once we go to the small picture, something for two women in particular, verse 2. Something about your private prayer life in verse 6, and something about your internal thought life in verse 8. And I think what Paul is doing is that it is the detailed, concrete, private examples, that is where we understand what is really being asked of us. There's a preacher called David Cook from Australia who we've had here several times. He talks about the impossible application of a Bible truth. So from Philippians, there are possible applications. You might like to go and tell your boss the gospel. You might like to invite your neighbor to Christmas is coming, as Caroline encouraged us. That's one possible application among many we've been looking at. But there are also impossible applications. If we have understood Philippians, then there is no way you can carry on doing that specifically. That would be impossible. So will the Philippians be effective agents of the heavenly city without Paul in the future? They want to be. They are signed up to the big picture. But now here are some impossible applications. So there's a handout on the sheet. Point one, agents on overseas service, they need to think the same in the Lord. Verse one, think the same in the Lord. And here it gets just a little bit awkward. Paul names two women, Euodia and Syntyche. They're very famous. We only know about them because of this verse, but they're now world famous, and they have been for 2,000 years, world famous for having an argument. That's all we know about them, really. Here's the impossible application for them. You cannot be a devoted servant of the heavenly city and go on with that argument. Euodia, Syntyche, it is time to get some help and bring it to an end. And at one level, this is just extraordinary, isn't it? Can you imagine the annual report from the chief exec of a major multinational suddenly turning to the relationship breakdown in the accounts team in Newport Pagnell? So you can imagine the event, the big podium, diversification into heavy metals in Indonesia has been going well with a 2.3% increase over forecast. But sadly, in 2018, Barry Wiggins has continued to claim that the blue stapler with the white sticker was one he brought in from home. While Doreen Jumper, she insists she orders it from Viking Direct and it should be available to the whole team. Our thoughts are with David Brent and the management team as they attempt to bring this to resolution now to our manufacturing arm in southern China. And at one level, it just seems extraordinary, doesn't it? Shouldn't this dispute be part of the private business of Euodia and Syntyche? But that misunderstands what kind of secret agents we are. And one reason I liked the idea of being a secret agent was because I wanted to be James Bond. And James Bond, he works alone or occasionally with people who die very soon after he has met them. But basically, he's independent and on his own. But the Philippians picture is of a shield wall, of every Christian in Philippi together, side by side, shields linked and swords out, advancing the gospel. And if that is what it is to be a devoted agent of the heavenly city, then Euodia and Syntyche are living the impossible application. It's sort of obviously not ideal, is it? If 008 would be delighted if 006 was caught by the FSB. That's kind of obviously not going well for the service of MI6 in Vienna. And you see, look down at verse 3. Euodia and Syntyche, they used to be models of everything that this letter is about. Verse 2, I entreat them to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life. The three-letter prefix that means together comes 5 times just in these 2 verses. It's even in Syntyche's name. She's actually Mrs. Synergy, if you hear the similar name. And she can't get on with Euodia, who she used to shield wall next to. See, the accounts team, they can just buy a second stapler. And most workplace teams, they can tolerate all sorts of minor bickering, but the local church is damaged every time the side-by-side, together, fellow working is broken. And the rest of the letter just comes through loud and clear, doesn't it? In that the goal, model citizens together, and the reality in the lives of these two particular individuals. The translation has actually hidden the main one in verse 2. When the English says, agree in the Lord, the original, and I cannot think why they thought it would be a good idea to hide this, the original says, I entreat Euodia, I entreat Syntyche to think the same in the Lord. It is word for word, 1 verse 27 or 2 verse 2. It is word for word the mind of Christ. Think the same as the person you cannot stand and have fallen out with. Think, have the same mind as them. Occupy the same brain as them. Think the same. And this makes Philippians a very realistic letter, doesn't it? There is every chance of this happening regularly among us at St. Helens, and even more between Christians in London or your workplace Christian group. If Euodia and Syntyche, who had been part of the Fab Four in Philippi, with Clement and the Apostle Paul as the other two, if they can disagree like this, well, then anyone could, any of us. And the solution is realistic too. There's nothing here about reparations or putting right the wrong. There is simply an entreaty. The work that you could do side by side, together for your heavenly city, that matters more than what she has done to you. Euodia, Syntyche, don't you agree it matters more? Don't you think, actually, as one woman on this issue? There's a similar passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, wouldn't you rather be defrauded than argue like this? With the obvious answer from most of us, most of the time, no, I wouldn't. I'll bring the whole church down with him when I have to, because he did me wrong. It's very painful, isn't it? Very realistic, very practical. I entreat you to think the same as Jesus, suffering self-sacrifice. You could use the verses that we all said together and ask whether it would cost more than what it cost Jesus in those verses. Get the help of the person who here is called the true companion, and then we can start laboring side by side again together. And if you won't, the impossible application, then you're not here on earth primarily to serve the city. The impossible application is just to sort of leave it and hope it gets better, or accept that this is okay for Christians and not seek the help. This is a very, very demanding letter, and sometimes it takes the small and the concrete before we see quite how demanding. If you can remember all the way back to week one, this is the move, isn't it, from what would be acceptable, from am I a good enough Christian, to what is excellent. Am I the best Christian I am capable of being? Am I sprinting towards the perfection of the city? See, what is the acceptable way for Euodia to treat her disagreeable neighbor, Syntyche? Well, that's fairly easy. What's the minimum she can do and still call herself Christian? No, says Paul, I want them to operate as if they only had one mind between the two of them, and as if that mind was the self-crucifying mind of Jesus Christ. That would be excellent. Okay, that was just the first one. So second one, the citizen soldier on overseas service needs to guard their minds in Christ. It's the second one, guard their minds in Christ. And in this next paragraph, from verses 4 to 7, there are three examples, I think, three connected examples of what it means to live out the Lord is at hand. Three commands around that phrase in verse 5. It's the simple truth of 3 verse 20. We are waiting for Jesus to come and get us. We huddle around our little cakes in the cafes of Vienna, working as agents of the heavenly city, because we know that one day soon, the Lord Jesus will step onto this planet and tell us that the work is complete. Come home. So what is the impossible application if you live with that expectation? Three commands. Verse 4, rejoice always. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And verse 6, to turn your anxiety into prayer with thanksgiving. And again, that is very honest about the actual reality of life on overseas service. In reality, the spies of Vienna, they're not very secret, most of them, and the information they buy and sell over their hot chocolate isn't that exciting. And the way they feel about the UK government isn't that different from the other civil servants in the Department of Transport and the Department of Fish, or whatever department they're from. Paul here, he has been open about the reality of overseas service for Jesus. Open about the suffering involved in his service of the gospel. He's pointed at Timothy, who always puts other people first, and Epaphroditus, who risked his life. He's talked about opponents and conflict and how it will be the same for them as it was for him. But if you're really here on earth, if I am, to serve the city that is to come and her king, who is at hand, then the normal human response to those difficulties, that is the impossible application. And I love the realism. Again, of course we'll be anxious. There's a prison cell and a Roman executioner sharpening the sword in the room next to where Paul lives. Those are not artificially exaggerated fears. But do you remember at the beginning of the book, Paul's saying, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The executioner's sword, it only speeds up what is fast approaching anyway. And if life is a sprint towards Jesus and the place to which he has called us, if we really live each day with the sense that Jesus is nearly here, well, then we cannot respond to our anxieties the same way as the civilians around us, the same way as the people who only have a stake in this life, in London or Singapore or wherever you're from. So imagine Paul in his prison cell, and every other prisoner on the row only has a stake in Rome. They live or they die in Rome. Their homes and their business, that is their only asset. It's all in Rome, and a chop of the sword and they lose everything. While Paul has a stake in the heavenly Jerusalem, and the chop of the sword is just the door home. So three examples. Rejoice always. And that doesn't mean in joy. It's the word joy there, isn't it? Rejoice. Doesn't mean enjoy the prison and the executioner and the persecution. But it means that his joy is located somewhere else, somewhere more secure. And prison cannot touch it. He's so glad that he's going there. He's so full of joy he's going there that he keeps rejoicing even in the middle of trials that nobody in their right mind could enjoy. Or reasonableness, verse 5. I think that is the most James Bond word here in the passage. I've done a bit of work on that word and what it means. It's closest in other places where it's used to ruler patience, the unique patience of a very powerful leader, of a very powerful king. That's the idea. The strong ruler who is full of confidence, so full of confidence that they're able to be kind and reasonable and gracious. The opposite of the fragile dictator who's terrified and has to keep losing their temper all the time. This is the strong king. You appeal to, please, can I have some reasonableness, some ruler patience? James Bond, you see, he is so confident in his abilities that he can straighten his tie, can't he? Even underwater in the speedboat as it comes back up. He knows that, you know, nothing's going to go wrong. Got time just to do that. Since you are in the service of King Jesus, and he is so close to coming to fetch you and taking you to where you can never be harmed again, you are on the winning side. So you can afford to be generous and calm to everybody you meet. Everyone around you, they know how much stress and hassle they send your way. Paul's prison guards, they've seen hundreds of desperate men and hundreds of victims of injustice. But it is impossible there would not be something different about somebody who was there on His Majesty's Secret Service. See the difference? If we really understand these things, it changes the way we live. Or how about anxiety and prayer? Verse 6. Again, this is not the denial of anxiety. This is not the denial of the realities of life and the hardness of it and the hassles of it, but it is a totally different approach and response to anxiety. Often a very helpful question with someone who is in the middle of something is to say, are you able to pray about it currently? Or would you like me to pray for it with you now? What if we did this every single time with all the things that make us anxious? In everything, by prayer and supplication, says that twice, just in case we're not clear, we're allowed to speak to God about the thing we're anxious about, prayer and supplication, but with thanksgiving. The joy is secure, grateful for knowing Christ, knowing Him in sufferings, even, chapter 3, and full of thanksgiving, while, yes, still make your requests, you're allowed to pray about the anxiety, let them be known to God. It's about Him. It's about trusting Him. It's about trusting that since the Lord is near and the real place we belong is the city, that actually every single anxiety of today can be handed to Him and trusted to Him. And that, verse 7, is what will give us all the things that people around us wish they had: peace and being guarded in our hearts and our minds. It's the secret agent in difficult circumstances. What do they really need? What kind of attitude do they need? Well, they need to know the helicopter is coming, is the image. And they need to know the Lord is at hand and the city is secure. So third one, the overseas soldier citizen needs point 3 to fill their minds with God's city. Verse 8 is the favorite verse of a number of members of my family, favorite Bible verse. If only one of them, as well as saying that, had copyrighted the cheesy Christian calendar with this verse on, verse 8, then we'd be laughing. But for most people who like verse 8, it is the equivalent of happy thoughts. I wonder, we encouraged each other on the weekend away to read the passage, study it before we come every Sunday morning. I wonder what you made of verse 8. What is it that is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable? What are the things that are excellent and praiseworthy that we are to think about? Is it just think about flowers? Think about sunrises. Well, here, verse 8 and verse 9 go together very tightly. You'll see at the end of verse 9, the God of peace reappears again, just like the end of the paragraph in verse 7. Verse 8, verse 9, they go together. So the impossible application, if you are an agent on overseas service of the heavenly city, the impossible application is that you would not live and think like Paul. And that's where we finished the sermon last week with Guillaume. See, verse 8 means the same as verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So all of the examples around this letter, the ones woven in chapter 1, the ones in the very heart of the letter in chapter 2, and the examples that this chapter 4 are full of, those are what it means to be thinking about what is lovely and true and honorable and just and pure and commendable. Those words, they're all quite unusual words in the original language. They're from the sort of world of Greek city values. And we are to be full of those things, full of the city where we belong, full of the behaviors and thinking and actions that count for something there. Annoyingly, when it says think in verse 8. That's actually, the translation's got it wrong again there. That's not the normal word think that it hid for us back in verse 2. That is the word reckon from 3 verse 8 and 3 verse 9. Sorry, 3 verse 8 twice. The word count everything. Count them as rubbish. So this is much more, this isn't, think about flowers as often as you can. This is make a decision that your mind will be all about the things that really count in the city where you belong. Make a decision about what you will fill your mind with. Is it the heavenly city? Or is it everything to do with life here? Is it, well, better than the city? Is it him? Is it Jesus, the King? That's what we're to press on towards, knowing him better. Every day, even if it's 90 days, 90 years full of days of knowing Jesus, press on to know him better. Or is it just the same interest as everyone around me? And again, you could imagine 008 and 005 and all the rest of them going native in the country that they live in. Because Vienna is a beautiful place to live if you're a spy and to bring up your children. And maybe you end up thinking that here is much better than there. And that the way that Paul has ended up in prison is that he's made a big mistake. If he was just as good as me at living now, then maybe everything would have been okay for him. And Paul says, reckon, count the things of the future, the true, the honorable, the just, the pure, count them as most important, so that we can labor side by side in the gospel. And on the 10:30 weekend away last weekend, we thought quite a bit about the labor and the work that we are in together. We thought about this meeting here, the 10:30 meeting, not being a small part of the St. Helens machine, but of being a gathering of hundreds of mature agents of Jesus Christ. We didn't use the word agent because I was saving that for this morning. But hundreds of, the highly trained and, specially equipped with Q branches, special tools inside our pockets, ready to serve together, mature Christians, ready to serve for him. And we also thought about this gathering not as being a place where we come to receive, but as a place where we come to be partners. And if you're interested in the ideas, I brought back 10 flip charts covered in ideas and improvements for this Sunday meeting. We're going to email them round to everyone who was there. And if you'd like to be added to the list, we can email them to you. Partners who, whatever it takes, and however, frankly, horrible we are to each other, will think the same as each other, because the service of the King, the business we're in, is too important not to. Partners who are unflappable is the point in point two, isn't it? Come every day ready to be reasonable. We've prayed about our anxieties and those of our friends before we've come, so we're ready to serve each other. And people who you know all week, every day, every night, are buried in the thoughts of Jesus and his city and the kind of behavior that Paul is into. So that around the world, there are millions of agents on overseas service. It's nice to have our mission partners back today, some of them, people who've been here and been now somewhere else. But there are millions of Christians in every city seeking to live for the city they're going to in the future, and to bring others with them, whatever the cost. Isn't that an exciting thing to live for? Let me lead us in prayer that we do that. Our Father, we thank you for the city that we do not deserve, for the new bodies that the Lord Jesus has ready for us, for him, our brother, our King, who we will see on that day. And we ask our Father that we would truly live for him together as we serve him in this city and the cities we will go to. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as members, citizens of a different city, we're going to stand and sing a final hymn and call on one another to arise, put on our armor, and go out into a new week, striving side by side for the cause of the gospel. Please stand.